We are sort of going to pick and choose. I think we have a couple of interesting things in the beginning of Rishon and Zion. So Rishon and Zion is spelled out in the Torah in the beginning of Rishon and Zion. It's really quoted from the Gemara of Maseches Baba Basra, which the Beis Yosef just tells you kind of, that's the Gemara of Baba Basra. So what does it say? Gavai Tzaka in the Torah, Gavai Tzaka in Rishayin Lifrush Zemizeh, L'gavos El Bechdesh Yir Zetzeh, that the Gavai Tzaka can't collect or can't separate one from another. So it seems like the assumption is that there's more than one Gabbai Tzaka. So the Gabbai Tzaka, I'll calm down. Right? So it seems like there's only one, there has to be more than one Gabbai Tzaka, and they can't separate them from one another. Right? Because that will then lead to people being suspicious of them. Yes, and there has to be more than one guy. That's what it sounds like, right? Matzamos b'shuk, and if you find money in the shuk, o shaparu lo chovo b'shuk, or some guy comes over and pays a debt to you, meaning the gabbai tzedaka personally has a debt to somebody, and yet he's going around collecting money. So he's going around collecting money. And he says, oh, here's the $10 I borrowed from you last week. So he wants to put it in his pocket. But the Gemara says, no, matzamos b'shuk, or somebody's paying him back, lo yitnim l'toch ki, so he can't put it into his own
pocket.
Yeah, one pocket. Say, what is a merce? What do they call for males? There's a male purse is a merce. I think there's a
merce.
Seinfeld episode about that. Yes. Mishum chashad. El yitneim lekis shel tzedaka. V'chashiyav leveso yachzor v'yitneim. Rather, he puts it into the tzedaka box. Then when he comes to his house, he takes it out of the tzedaka box. Now this strikes me as odd. I'm not sure how this works.
What's the point?
I don't know. I mean, the point is that people won't see him do it. There is an assumption of trust for him, but then it's like he's abusing that trust since he gets home by taking the money out, even though it's really his own money. But I don't know. It's a very odd thing, especially odd when we consider we've come across this a few times that Maris Ayin is even b'chadri chadar. It's even an inside. So the whole thing is a concern of Maris Ayin. Now the terminology they use is not Maris Ayin. The terminology that they use is Hayusi Nikiyim. B'shnei Hashem, I think the Torah actually quotes that. Beis Yosef quotes that. That one should be clear. It's a little different than Maris Ayin. And I've heard, although I think he gave this issue a little bit while, I wasn't able to substantiate. I saw there is at least somebody who holds that the things that one is prohibited to do by way of Maris Ayin, afilu b'chadri chadar, are only those that are mentioned explicitly as being Maris Ayin things. So, by whom? Who do they need to be mentioned explicitly by? The almond milk, fish blood, right? The things that are mentioned explicitly in the Gemara, those types? I'm not sure. But anyways, but that's what it says. It says that he could take the money from those people, but he should put it in a stock box, and then when he gets home and no one else is around, or maybe when he gets home and he has the other guy around and he tells the other guy what happened, so then he could go ahead and take it for himself. Ein monin maos, and then it says the Torah continues, ein monin maos shel tzedaka shnayim shnayim, el yachshaduhu shenotel echon mikol minyan, el monin oso echon echon. He shouldn't count the coins 2 by 2, because there's a concern that he's counting in his head, 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, but somebody watching him might be saying, he's counting it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even though there's 2 in each one, and then he's going to take away half of them for himself. Right? So in order to avoid that suspicion, so therefore he counts them 1 by 1. That's what the Torah says. So the Beis Yosef points out there's a quote from a Gemara, Maseches Baba Basra, Bais Parakamad Baba Basra, Peirush Rashi, Tam, the Ein Portion Zemizeh. I'm in the Beis Yosef back on the previous page. Right? That the reason why, now I'm on the second line of that Beis Yosef, at the bottom,
uh-huh.
Right? All right? The reason why Rashi says that in portions of mizemifnei shelo yomu zeha govi yichidi daito lignav, that this guy who's collecting by himself, he's really going to steal the money. The tam sheim, the reason is shematza mosul yitim toki. So also mifnei shelo yomu moshel tzedaka hu gonav, that he's taking the tzedaka money, and the reason that in mona, that he shouldn't count 2 by 2 is that people don't say shnayim hu motiv ein mona elecha, that he's taking two, he's counting them by, he's taking them by two, but he's only going to be counting by one. Let's do Bays while we're here. So lo hayel lahem aniyim. What happens if there's no aniyim to give it out to? L'chalik v'tzrichin lahachlif haprutos ola mochrim ein mochrim ve'ein machlifin la'atzman elachim. Right, along the same lines, if there's no poor people to give it out to at that time, and he wants to exchange the prutos or to sell them. Now, this is, I think there was a phenomenon, my understanding is there was a phenomenon at the time that the coins would go bad. Excuse me, after a while. There's an assumption in the Gemara that the coins weren't permanent, that they go bad. So you actually do have to continuously exchange them, otherwise you're going to have spoiled coins or something. So therefore, if you don't have poor people to give the money out to, say, what are you going to do with all those coins? So don't exchange them for yourself. Don't sell them. Don't exchange them with your own coins. Rather, you should find someone else to do the business with. Similarly, if he wants to sell that which is in the tamchun, he's got some kind of collection basket, now the food comes in, right? Who wants that kind of food? Right? So he's going to sell it. So he says he's going to go ahead and sell it. He should sell it to other people, he shouldn't sell it to himself. Says, oh, look at that, a can of corn. I happen to need a can of corn. Right? So that's not a good thing to do. Rather, sell it to somebody else. So gabayt stuka haksherim ein medaktik imachrim. And then has this interesting halacha here, that if you have a gabayt stuka that's kasher, everybody assumes he's a good guy, ein medaktim hachareim. Don't drive him crazy. Don't be so careful with him. However, in order so that he be clean and on the up and up, it's good that he give a cheshbon. But there's some kind of halacha that people shouldn't request from the gabbai tzedaka a cheshbon, but on his own he can go ahead and do it. That would be considered a good idea. Okay, so where does that come from? So the Beis Yosef here says, "V'tam shein potrin peturim here ve'in mochrin me." Right? Again, same thing when people don't say that he's taking it for himself or he's taking it himself for cheap. I mean, he could have gotten a dollar for that can of corn and said he's only spending his own 50 cents. Right? Don't do that. Also, the gabbai tzedaka, don't be so careful with him. So that's also in that brice in Maseches Bava Basra. Ein mechashrin b'tzedaka, in gabbai tzedaka, velo behektish im hagizbar. Don't drive the people in the Beis Hamikdash crazy with the hektish accounts. And even though there's no proof, there is a hint to that. There's a pasuk in Malachim. We use as a good term, but they weren't so concerned with who they were giving money to. Because they trusted them. But Dikdik Rabbeinu Lichtov Gavai Tzaka Haksherim, and the Torah explicitly said, Gavai Kosher Gavai Tzaka, Lomer Dahainu Dafka Yoshem Bechaskas Kashrim. That's only if they assume that they're a chazak of being kosher. I love Hachi Machashrin Imahim. But if they're not, so then we should be nervous about them.
Maybe they shouldn't be a Gavai Tzaka.
And then maybe they shouldn't. Well, that might be what's going on here, right? That therefore, you're nervous about them, so in order for them to prove their Gavai Tzaka worthiness, so therefore, we might ask for the cheshbon.
Moshe said that he didn't take from the gold.
Very good. So the Gra points that out. That there's a medrash that says that the people were annoyed or were a little suspicious about Moshe, that the cheshbon that come out of Moshe produced his own. Moshe produced his own cheshbon, and that was appropriate. Now, was it appropriate that the people were upset with it, were nervous about it, right? So the impression, I think, is that no. I think Moshe tells people, don't be so upset that the people don't trust you. They didn't trust me either. I think that's like part of the, but not necessarily in praise of the people, but just that's the reality that you're going to need to confront. Okay, so...
So when I became when I got a key to the Sukhavatis here, I was told, I forget by who, maybe you shouldn't make change from the tzedakah for yourself unless you're giving some money. So let's say I need quarters. I should put in a dollar and take out 3 quarters, but I shouldn't take out 4 quarters.
Because you're the gabbai tzedakah.
Like a gabbai tzedakah.
Okay, so yeah. It's unclear how many of these halachos are still out. Yeah. These are all famous, actually, like, of course, they're famous halachos, but how applicable are they? So let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch here. So in Shulchan Aruch it says gabbai tzedakah. So it says here, gabbai tzedakah, enam rishayim lifrosh zem yizeh b'shuk, el kadei sheyiru zeh, they shouldn't separate from each other so much, rather they should be able to see each other, sheyizeh porish l'shar v'zeh porish l'chen v'zeh v'govin, v'matzah ha-gabbai mos b'shuk, zeh porish l'chanos v'govin, right, such that one guy's at the gate, and this guy's at the stores. So matzah ha-gabbai mos, that's halacha number one, so it's still in the Shulchan Aruch, this din. Matzah gabbai mos b'shuk, also if the gabbai finds money in the shuk, he shouldn't give it in his own pocket. El tov arnaki shal tzaka, rather put it in the tzaka box, then when he gets to his house, he'll take it himself. Again, strange halacha, but okay. Hayah gabbai nosi b'chavero manu, paro b'shuk, and a gabbai take... What? Agave noshe bechaveru mana uparo b'shuk. A guy had lent money out to somebody. Now he's paid back in the shuk. Lo yidin l'toch kisu. Again, shouldn't put it in his own pocket. El toch ardaki shel saka. Rather put it in the saka box. You kill the base of mithil. Then he can take it out. Velo yimna mos hakupa shnayim shnayim el achad echad. Also, don't count the coins two by two, but rather one by one. If neachashad, same thing. Shenimar v'yisim nekiim Hashem of Yisrael. That you should be clean from Hashem and from Yisrael. Meaning, don't be. We shouldn't have any suspicions. The Shach adds on here, Kishagovim Tzakim Mishum Chashad, V'chein B'matsu Maos, Oparu Chaveru Hatam Mishum, the same thing, all the stuff is concerned of Chashad, that we're not going to concern that he's taking any extra. Right, if you take a look, the Bir Hagra here, Aleph, did we cover the Bir Hagra yet? Or that's, no, that's in the next section. Okay, so let's go on to Beis then. Actually, no, wait. So there is a bit of a problem that in the previous, in Reish Nun Vav Gimel, the Pshachim Uchuvus points out that he does not think that is so practical, based on if you just go a couple of Sifim earlier.
What's not practical?
Reishon Vav Sifim, the idea that he's going to collect by himself. He actually goes through all these halachas and sort of knocks them out. If you go to the previous Sif, Reishon Vav Sif Gimel, so there, what does it say? There it also has the halacha of that you shouldn't have an individual be the collector. And why does it say that? So there it says, Hakupa enu nigvis bepachus mishnayim. The kupa is not collected by less than two people. Why? She'en osim srara al hatzibur b'mamon b'pachos mishnayim. Because we shouldn't have srara on the congregation when the congregation comes to money with less than two people. So what does that tell us? I'll tell you why you need two people. The two people is because this is really a halacha in Svara, meaning the halacha of the people. So then he brings
that's
this. Svara? Svara is the idea that a person is in charge of something.
Oh.
Right? So Svara is the term. Right? Svara is a master. Svara is the terminology used of somebody who's in charge. That comes up in the issue of women rabbis and women presidents and those types of things. Right? The accusation is that the women are not permitted to be in positions of regular governance, but in charge, that they actually go ahead and make the decisions. So the Pesachim Mitzvahs here says, what you said earlier, that nowadays it's permitted to collect stucca by yourself. Why? And that's what people do. Meaning, yes, it's true, maybe that they're describing multiple people, but nowadays people collect by itself. How does that come about? So the suggestion is that the idea of collecting with more than one person is that srara should not be with only one person. You should have multiple people, right? So nowadays, the gabbai tzedakah is not considered to be in the position of srara. Why not? Because, so the way he explained here someplace, is because the srara component of being the gabbai tzedakah is that you could shake people down for money. Nowadays, you don't have the authority to actually require people to give money anymore. So therefore, it's considered not to be a composition of Sarara anymore. Now that it's not a position of Sarara anymore, you don't need two people to be the Gabbai Tzedaka. Having one guy be the Gabbai Tzedaka is sufficient. If only one guy is the Gabbai Tzedaka, so then you don't have to worry that two people be collecting at once. I mean, the idea of two people be collecting at once and not separating from one another is when there were two Gabbai Tzedakas, it would be unnatural for them to be separated from each other, to the point that if they were separated from each other, so then we would be concerned that maybe one of them is pulling strings in order to, because he wanted to maybe shield himself from the other Gabbai Tzedaka. But nowadays, where the normal situation is that you only have one Gabbai Tzedaka, so then it's not considered an issue anymore. That's idea number one. The idea of finding the money in the shuk also. He says that that's only where it wouldn't be clear. Nowadays, it would be clear. I mean, you find something on the floor, and then you take out your wallet and put it in your wallet. I mean, it's clear what's going on. As opposed to somehow in time of the Gemara, maybe it wouldn't be as clear. Same thing with paying them back. So he says, yeah, you have to be clear what's going on.
They didn't have as many pockets.
Right. They didn't have pockets. They didn't have wallets. They weren't so obvious about things.
Stuck up for Israel. Shliach mitzvah money. I fold it over.
Yes.
And put it in my wallet.
The triangles. I do triangles when people give me. Yeah. Right. And he suggests that maybe this whole idea was really just a takana. I mean, when you had a kupas a year, so the kupas a year had to be collected in this particular way. Nowadays, we're not technically using a kupas a year, so therefore these takanos are not going to apply. Not necessarily mean that they're not good ideas. They might be good ideas, but in terms of an actual takana, he doesn't assume that it applies. The other thing that he adds in here, I'm not sure why exactly he sticks it into this particular at this moment, but he adds in that the gabay tzedaka is not permitted to lie, right? That's also part of being the key in Mishnei Hashem, that he shouldn't give falsehoods about what the tzedaka is that he is collecting for. So in the footnote here, interesting, I didn't get a chance to look up the Mincha Shlomo himself, but he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that he sees everybody does this though. He says, "Rabbi mi Moshe haTorah v'chesed ragilim lahagzim al mispar hatamidim or se mispar hanismachim al yodim." He says, "I see many people from the Mostos that they exaggerate how many students they have, or they exaggerate how many people that they're helping." And right, but then he continues on and says, "He says I would expect him to say, and it's terrible and awful and no good, etc." But he says, "V'zos lemodai ki ein ani mahar chas v'shalom lase." He says, "I'm not going to be choshish them, ki yodei ani shegedol v'tov mimenu asu va'osim davar zeh." Right, I know that there is very good people that are involved in these things and do this. Umistama batku umatzu heter, and they probably found a heter for this. Ulam lemana emes. But the truth is, I don't really know what the makor is for that heter. Okay, so that's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes. He says, they probably have a heter, but I don't know what it is. Now, he does point out an interesting, he says, it could be that the only thing that might be permissible to exaggerate the amount of people in the yeshiva. Why would that be? So he says, there's a Gemara Maseches Nedarim that talks about a neder, an exaggerated neder is no good. It doesn't count as a neder. And it gives the example of the amount of people on this row is like the amount of people left Mitzrayim. So obviously it's not, it's some kind of exaggeration. So if there's an assumption of an exaggeration, so then that's okay. I don't know. That's a little bit of a hard idea, but that's what he ate. Everybody's doing it. I don't, maybe that's what he's suggesting. But yeah.
There's a story of Rabbi Kamenetsky, but
yes.
Like his first job.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Okay. His first job in this country, right? The first when Rav Yaakov came to this country, his job was to be the collector for the Kavna Kolel. That was sort of a payback that he learned in the Kavna Kolel when he was part of after Slobodka. I guess I forget how exactly it worked, but he learned in this Kolel with the assumption being that when he at some point he's going to go and raise money for it. To get it back. So that's why he went to America. That was his job, to be a mashulach for a little bit. And the story goes that he went to someone's house to raise money, and he said, I'm here collecting for the Kavna Kolel, and my records show that last year you gave $100. And the guy said, and here's the check that you gave last year, $100. So the guy said, I didn't give $100 last year. And he went to his back room and found the check, and he came out and it said $50 on it. So Rav Yaakov said, well, that's it. I'm no longer collecting for the Kavna Kolel. I quit. He says, no, I want to give you the $50. He says, nope, I quit. I'm not collecting for this disorganized organization anymore. And that was it. And he quit the job. And then he's like, what does he do? Now he's in America and he's stuck. I think that's what, I'm not sure if that led directly or maybe there's something in between that he ended up going to Seattle. He was actually the rabbi. The shul still exists in Seattle. The big shul in Seattle is Beker Cholim. He was actually the rabbi there for a year because the rabbi had to go someplace, and then from there went to Toronto, and then from Toronto to Torvadas, and the rest of history. Yeah.
He was known for not tolerating any lies at all.
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
Everyone would do that. But.
Yes. So right, but that's different. That's a little different than this. I mean, that's like outright checker. This like an exaggeration. How many students? So that he's pushing. He's saying, suggesting that maybe there's like sort of like that's okay. You know. That's a little more okay because that's a sort of an accepted exaggeration. But to tell somebody one thing when it's really something else, that would perhaps be worse. Okay, all right. So that's Sif Alpha. Sif Beis. So Sif Beis says so. Gabay Tzedaka she'ein lehem aniyim lechalik mitzarfim hamos dinarim lacherim. Now, if a Gabay Tzedaka doesn't have anybody to give the money to, So he should exchange it with somebody else and not for himself, but not with himself. Similarly, if he has to sell that which is collected in Tamchu, he should sell to others, and he shouldn't sell it to himself, because if people are going to be concerned, the... So ve'ein machashrim v'tzdaka im agabai tzdaka. And then nor should we be choshesh, I guess, or demand some kind of listing from the cheshbon from the gabay tzedaka based on this pasuk in what accounting. Yeah, an accounting based on this pasuk. So it comes to the Ramah. Now, I don't know why the Mechaber left this out. It was in the Beis Yosef, but the Ramah continues on and says, it was in the Torah. It says, Mikol Malkum, Kdeshiyu, Nikim, Yashem, Yisrael, Tov Lehem, Litin Cheshman. Still a good idea for them to do so. It's an exemption, but still a good idea for them to do so. And that's where the Gra and Aleph here, the Gra quotes this from that Medrash Tanchuma, which Kas Medrash Rabbah Tanchuma, Reish Perak. Actually, it wouldn't make sense. Oh, Medrash Rabba Uvatan Chuma. Okay, in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, Ish Emunas Ze Moshe Shenasek Gizbar Al Malachas HaMishkan. Alfu Yishaya Moshe Gizbar Liatzmo Hu Kori Lachir Umachashe Val Yadeim. That even though it was Moshe Rabbeinu, still they called out to other people who were concerned about what he did. Shenamar Ilu Pekudei HaMishkan Shepakad Moshe Inksiv Kan El Asher Pakad Al Pi Moshe Al Yadei Moshe Biyad Itmar Chulei etc. So. Yeah, that Moshe still had to put forward. It also tells the other thing is anybody who goes in to take money shouldn't have any pockets in the Beis Hamikdash treasury. They didn't have any pockets. Also, v'yisa nikiyim v'fnei Hashem, meaning that's considered a positive ideal to do. And then he says, v'chol zeh gizbar m'hakesh k'sherim. This is big gabayim m'hakesherim. This is all by the ones that have an assumption of being kosher. Aval mi she'eino kosher. Oh, shenismana be'almos v'chazaka tzarech litein cheshbon. But if they're not kosher, or they sort of claim the position by force, so then they would have to give a cheshbon. Same thing with all monies for the tzibur, not just if you're collecting tzedakah, but also if you're running a shul, right? So that money should be transparency, especially if you took the position by force. That's what the Ramah is adding in here. Now there is an interesting shach. The shach says, "Afilu nismana midas atzibur." Even if you're chosen by the tzibur, im korim alav teger shalona kashura. Somebody protests and says that you're not acting appropriately. V'choshna, so it concerns him. B'davar sheroy lihistapik be'inei hadayin. In a way that in front of a dayan, it gives him pause. Pshita shetzarech litein cheshbon lifnei kol ha-ma'ar. It's obvious that he should give a cheshbon to anybody who asks. The yadua shekama dvar mitzvichim lahotzi b'mo'z tzibur she'ein legalos elo letzenuim. Because there's many things that is spent with the money of the tzibur that should only be revealed to those that should only be revealed privately. So the shach all of a sudden got stuck. Right? It seems like it's backwards. Right? What does it say? Let me just make sure, right? It says by you, in your shach, listapik be'ini hadayin pshita shetzarech latit cheshbon. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Yes, right? So it's obvious you should give a cheshbon to anybody who asks, because everybody knows that there's things that are spent that are private, and should only be revealed to those that are tzenuim. So the shach just seems to contradict himself, right? So the Piskei Tshuva here, if you look in Piskei Tshuva Beis, he says, "Al misha inu kasher." Says, "Ayin shach v'yesh bedvarav to sofer." He has there's a printer's error. K'mo shekasu latis cheshbon lifnei kol ma'arir, but tzarich lomar v'acheshbon lo yasel lifnei. It's not that it says
here it says
v'ein tzarich
lasus.
What? Yeah, he's adding in the word. By you, it says v'ein tzarich.
Yeah.
In the shach or in the pisgei tshuva?
In the shach.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they corrected it.
Right, so apparently it's a correction. Yeah. But the shach doesn't make any sense the way it's printed in mine. Pshita, right, that she'in, that you should not have to give a cheshbon to every single guy who requests it, right, because there's private things that are in there. So what's the answer? What's the eitz? So the eitz is that you give an audit, but not everybody needs to have their eyes on the audit. So the Piskei Tshuva here in Beis makes that point, right? That obviously is something, there's a toser, some kind of mistake, and it's that you don't have to give it to every single person who asks. Rather, it should be, rather you somehow have to figure out another way of making it transparent. And just continues on the Rama, v'chasherotzim hatzibur yichol nesalei kagabai v'limnos acher v'ein kamishum chashad v'hudin shar mamonim. And when the tzibur wants, they can remove the gabai and choose somebody else, right? And not necessarily have to do because of suspicion for anything, v'hudin shar mamonim, even if it's not just because they're suspicious of him, they just have the right to do that. And the same thing would be by other people that are appointed over the tzibur. One has the right to, the tzibur has the right to remove them, at, you know, if they see fit. Now the there is the Aruch HaShulchan here. The Aruch HaShulchan gives why not? I mean, why does it seem to be like we're saying don't make the guy give a cheshbon? If he wants to, like, it would be considered a hiddur mitzvah of some sort for him too, but he shouldn't. So the Aruch HaShulchan adds in here. This is in Reish Nun Zayin Sif Yud Beis. Don't ask the imkain lama loyitil chazal leim loyitil cheshbon. He says, so why didn't Chazal make him do a cheshbon? We shouldn't be yisim nikiyim, right? Because we're not going to let him separate from the other guy because of yisim nikiyim. So maybe the very least he could do is put a report together about what he collected and how he gave it out. So daramur lamala, like he did the things earlier. So v'yesh lomar the lo dummy the cheshbon ein makom lechashad. About dvarim hamurim yish makom lachshur. He says without a cheshbon, there's no starting point to be chosheshim, right? And the points above, even though for us it's it's a little odd. We're sort of making them be together. No, the natural thing is for them to be together. I mean, that was the point that we were making before. The regular thing is for them to be together. If they separate, so that's like a little suspicious already that they're being separated. But to not do a cheshbon, so okay, there's no starting point for there to be a cheshash. And also, otam kavosh nisbar va'od the cheshbon yish harbe toreach. It's hard to do a cheshbon, right? It's a pain in the neck. These are volunteers we're talking about. We're going to make them sit down and cheshbon all these things out. You're going to have a hard time getting these volunteers. L'chein lohi tilo alayim. V'od, the cheshbon halo natu lehem ne'monus mikodem. V'lachin, and also with the cheshbon, we've already given them ne'monus beforehand. V'lachin vaday im keshe hismanum sheyitnu cheshbon vaday shechayvim litin cheshbon. He says, so, but if they agreed, meaning they agreed before, he wasn't going to have to do it. So what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? All of a sudden, piping in and saying, hey, we want to see where you spent all the money the last year. And I was like, well, I haven't been keeping such great records, right? I'm going to have to go and call up the bank and find receipts and all this kind of stuff, right? That's not fair. But if you made the deal ahead of time, yeah, you could be the treasurer, but we want to see full transparency in how you spend the money. So then he would be required to do so. And then he adds in, v'yirali shabamakum shamamona notel schiros vade demachuyiv litin cheshbon. If you're paying him, so then you got to give a cheshbon. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. So the idea that you don't have to, that's when we're talking about volunteers. But if we're not talking about people that are paid, so then they should certainly provide the cheshbon. Okay. All right. Let's just do Gimel here in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So Hatzdaka Gimel Hatzdaka Harehi Bechlal Hanedarim. This is so Hatzdaka is included in Nedarim. This is based on a pasuk. It appears in Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where it talks about that you got it with the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir. Baal Ta'achir is usually the one who says they can bring korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring within 3 Yom Tov. That's the halacha there. So it adds in, based on a diuk in a pasuk, and with tzedakah happens to be miyad, that you're chayav to do it miyad. The Gemara asks, why do you have to do tzedakah right away? If you make a promise to give tzedakah, you have to give it right away. So says the Gemara, because there's always aniyim right there, and if there's aniyim that are available to it, so then you'd have to give it right away. So with the implication being that maybe if there are not aniyim right there, then maybe you have the right to hold on. So he says, Hatzdaka rehi bechlal hanedarm, that it's included in the darm. L'fichacha omeh harei alai sela l'tzdaka. Hereby I'm going to give this sela. Oh, harei sela zu tzdaka, or this sela is tzdaka. So chayv litna lani miyad. So then you should give it, right away. V'im ichar over b'baal ta'acher. And if you hold back, you have violated baal ta'acher. Now, if you violated do a reisa baal ta'acher, it's a little hard to say. Maybe it might just be in a smachta, something learned out. But anyways, it's a big deal for you to say, I'm giving the money, and then not give it. Sherei biyado li temiyat, if you have it to give. Aniyim mitzumin. Aniyim are there. Aim. V'im ein sham aniyim, mafrish umaniach ad shi matzei aniyim. However, if they're not aniyim there, so then you should separate it and put it on the side until you find aniyim. Husi, that's from the Rush. Yeah. Okay, I mean, there's more in the Beis Yosef about this, but all right, let's. So Rama says, "V'chol ze b'tzdaka sheish b'yadol chalchem atzmo." All that was b'tzdaka that you have. About kishenodrin tzdaka b'beis haknesses litna liad gabai. But if you make a neder to give tzdaka in shul, I'll give it to the gabai. Oshar tzdaka sheish lo litin that you'll give to a gabai. So when do you violate it? I mean, you don't have the money, so you have to run home right away and run right back. And if you don't run back and forth, so you're in violation of Baal Ta'achir. He says, no. Eino over aleha, you only violated afag, even though aniyim are found there. Elim kain tavu agabai, if the gabai asks for it. I mean, if there is, if you're promising it to somebody who's the buffer, so then the buffer is responsible to get it from you. If he doesn't ask you for it, so then you're not in violation of Baal Ta'achir until you're asked for the money by the gabai. Vi'az over aleha miyad. Then you would be violating it right away because you didn't make it available to him. E kaimi aniyim v'agabai hayim mechayik lehem miyad v'im ein period. Yeah, if there are aniyim there and the gabai wanted to give it out right away, v'im ein yadua legabai, if the gabai doesn't know that you did it, tzarech ulodi, you got to tell him, right? Masha nedi, you got to let him know. Oh, by the way, I took this nedi kedei sheyochel tavos, so that he can put it on your bill and so that he can get it from you. V'lo mikri aniyim mitzuyim el aniyim hatzrichim lechalik lehem. And the only idea that there's aniyim that are there is only that they're aniyim that you need to give to. But if you don't generally give, I mean, if there's some kind of rule that you don't give directly to the aniyim in this way, so that's not called them being present. And if you say, I'm going to give to this guy, so you don't violate it until that guy comes, even though there might be other aniyim around. Okay? Fine. So what is this? So you can separate, and you decide I'm going to give money, so it needs to be given right away, or you at least need to tell the gabai right away so that he knows that you're good for it at that time. And it says, V'dafka, the Mechaber continues, V'dafka v'mafrish tzaka stam, aval kol adam yochol hafrish moz l'saka shimu nochem etzalitim mi'at. That's only when you separate tzaka plainly. I mean, you say, I'm hereby taking tzedakah, then you have to give it right away. But if you say, no, I'm separating tzedakah so that I will have it, meaning I'm putting the money in my tzedakah account, so then you don't have to give it over until, so then you would give it out. Oh, I skipped a line. About kol adam yachol hafish moz l'tzedakah, shimu nachem etzlo, they'll be with him. And then he'll give it out little by little as people come. Right? As I gave the example when I first became a rabbi in Phoenix, somebody came in right off the bat and gave me a check for, I forget if it was $3,500, $5,000, something like that. So here, this is for your tzedakah fund. I'm like, so what does that mean? I remember calling one of my mentors who said, it doesn't mean that like the first money that comes in, you give him, oh yeah, you need $5,000? Here, right? I happen to have that, right? So that's not what it means. Rather, it means that you're then in charge of giving it out little by little over time. Or people set up their tzedakah, charity funds, things like that. So then they're in charge of giving it out little by little. Similarly, if you make the rule that when you gave the tzedakah that you the kabbayim have the right to switch it or exchange it, so then that would be permissible as well. I would just point out to Tess, plus I don't really want to go back to Rashi and Zion next week. Oh, actually, Dalet quickly. Dalet, tzarech li zahir mi lidur, be careful from making actual neder. V'im poske et tzedakah v'tzarech lifsuk imam yomer below neder. And if you decide I'm going to give tzedakah, you should explicitly say b'li neder, because you don't necessarily need the language of a neder in order for it to be considered a neder. Nevertheless, Fiske Chua points out, just saying b'li neder doesn't mean it's optional, right? There's still plenty of things you'd be in violation of even if you said b'li neder and you don't go ahead and give it. And Tess is, lo yitin adam kol tzedakasav l'ani echa bilvad. You shouldn't give all of your tzedakos to one ani, right? That's considered inappropriate. Some interesting reasons here. I could quickly find it. It's eluding me right now. Where was that? I'm Right. First, there's a Gemara, Maseches Eruvin. The Gemara says that somebody who gives all of his gifts to one person, so that brings famine to the world. Why? Because he only gives to one person, so then there's a concern that maybe he's really not the right ani for this. And also, he's mid mitzdayer other aniyim. So therefore, it's good to diversify. Just one should diversify their investments. They should also diversify the person they're giving tzedakah to. Also, this is where you talk about the diversification, that if you have the option of giving, the Rambam says you should, the Yadua Rambam, he writes, that if a person has the option of giving all one lump sum or giving it regularly, one should give it regularly in smaller amounts in order to develop the chesed personality. Okay, so I guess it takes us to the Rishon Zayin, maybe from one more week or so. We'll see what we find in the continuation of Hilchos Tzedakah.
Question over diversification.